You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. We have any announcements this morning? Have no further announcements. We'll go to the scripture reading. It's in Matthew chapter 1, starting at verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. And Father God, we just pray for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ's name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Let's join our hearts now in prayer. Father, we thank you as you blessed us with your presence. Not just the birth of your son and the celebration of this time of year and all the thoughts that we have of him and the glory of what you've done and that angels came down from on high and sang. But Father, his presence in our life, we praise you for that. We thank you day in and day out that there in our heart is the one who not only loved us and loves us, but the one who gave his life for us, that we might live eternally, that we might be called the children of God. And we praise you for that. It's just beyond our imagination. We can't put our arms around that, but we thank you, Father, for your presence in our life. We thank you for your leading. We thank you for your concern and care over us and all of our troubles, no matter what difficulties we have. We thank you, Father, for the fact that you've left us the Word and that we can study and learn and get to know you. We're so grateful for that. And we ask you now, Father, that you let your Spirit be the teacher. Take the things that speak of your Son and will build us up. That will strengthen our faith day by day. That will teach us that your mercies are everlasting. We pray, Father, those things be taught us and be emblazoned upon our heart and will motivate us day in and day out to love you in all that we do, with all that we have. We ask this, Father, in Christ Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless what? His holy name. There's something special about the name of God. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. There's something special about the name of God. There's something so special about it that when God said man needs 10 commandments, when he got to the third one, he said, my name is so special to me, don't you ever, ever take my name in vain. I mean, that's how special the name of God is. We're going to look at that in just a minute. But let's look at this lesson. It says in verse 18, it talks about the birth of Christ. Talks about how important it was. There are many aspects of this, and we've looked at it several times before. There's not a lot that's new to us. There's a lot that can be imagined as new. You'll ever listen to some of these storytellers on the radio or catch them on TV. Max Lucado is just incredible. Of course, Swindoll is a really good storyteller, and it's Billy Graham can tell a good story. It's just wonderful to hear him. But a lot of the story that they tell is something that they kind of just pique your imagination because it's not directly in Scripture. It's kind of filled in the places. It's filled in the lines. It's kind of there, but it's not really direct. And I don't mind that so much. I mean, I enjoy that. It gives flesh to the bones of the story, you might say, from a literal point of view, a literary point of view, I mean. And so as we look at it, we see some things like now the birth of Jesus in verse 18 was in this way when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together. She was with child of the Holy Spirit. It's a virgin-born child. We know all about that. It's an incredible event. It's an event that just blows the mind of man because man always saw it and wondered, who is God? How can we know Him? And so we had a lot of gods made up by men so that God could become tangible and realistic to man, because God wasn't tangible and realistic. So man found God in the wind, and he found God in the sky, and he found God in the stars, and he found God in the moon and the sun, and he began to name God that. It was important things to man because God was something man didn't know about. He didn't know what kind of flesh could he put on that boneless entity, that unseeable creator. God found a way. God said, let me show you how I'm going to do it. And he became a man. And so we see Mary with child. In verse 19, Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He was ready to divorce her. Why he didn't? May have been because what happens next. But to divorce her would have brought humiliation and shame on her and her family. He loved her. Else, why would he want to marry her? Might even bring death because she had shamed the family and they might have stoned her. But look at what happens in verse 20. While he thought on these things, so I guess he's going through that process, that mental process, trying to deal with it. As he thought on these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So maybe that's why. Maybe in that dream he said, whoa, what was that? Not like Scrooge. He said, maybe it was a little bit of that potato soup I had before I went to bed. You remember that, Scrooge and his spirits? No, when the spirit's going to come and visit you at 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock and 3 o'clock, this is God in the flesh. And Joseph, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name what? Jesus. Jesus. You know what Jesus means, don't you? It's a Hebrew word, Jehoshua. It means that salvation is of God. Salvation is of God. So we're going to call his name Jesus. It goes on to say, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now, why was all that? It tells us in verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled. Now, all of this was done. There's a whole lot more than just 1, 2, 3, 4 verses. A whole lot more than that. I mean, it's like we began with their courtship. And we followed it through to the confirmation of the fact that they're going to get married. And then we know from Luke that Augustus had this tax that he was going to put on everybody. And so they had to get up on the donkey and they had to go down to Bethlehem. Lots of activity in Bethlehem. Everybody from all over was coming to town, spending lots of money, and the people in Bethlehem were happy because lots of their coffers were getting full. It seems like 4 verses just isn't enough to cover all of this that's going on, but there's so much going on in this. But why was it done? Well, like Champ said last week, God has a plan. God has a plan. God not just has a plan, He's got a purpose. He's got a purpose for your life. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. I just love that. I love that name, Emmanuel, God with us. It's such an amazing... Here it is, the name of God, Emmanuel, and it's from an Old Testament prophecy. Do you know that? It's from Isaiah chapter 7. Emmanuel, God with us. And I just... I just think about that, and I think it's not enough to say God with us, because that's not really exactly what it says. Emmanuel, with us, El, God. See, when you say God is with you, it's kind of like, okay, it's kind of like the force be with you, or it's kind of like, we're going to play a football game tonight, and we pray God be with us. But it's not that. It's really the other way around. It's the Yoda version. Remember Yoda and Luke Skywalker? And apologize for my science fiction fantasies. But there is a time where Luke is on this planet and his ship is in the water, the swamp, and it's sinking. And Yoda's trying to teach him how to lift the ship up. And he says, well, Luke Skywalker says, well, I'll try. Yoda says, try not. Do or do not. You know, Yoda always gets it backwards. It's not let's go to Tulsa tomorrow. It's to Tulsa we go tomorrow. He gets it, and it puts a strange emphasis on it. It's like Emmanuel. It's not God with us. It's with us is God. See, that's a little bit different. God is with us. Okay, he's just, he's kind of here and there and everywhere. It's not that at all. It's with us is God. He came down in the form of man. Emmanuel speaks to that. He took on himself the form of a man. Something that the mind can't understand. You can't get your arms around that. That God would become a man. But yet it's what the Bible teaches. And modern man, up to that point, modern man, Rome was the civilization of all civilizations. The Greeks had come before it. Had given us all the right, the same language, and Rome had given us all the roads that led all over the world, and all roads, remember that? All roads lead where? To Rome. But modern man still didn't understand God. The skeptics, God. The intellectuals, well, there is a God. He's out there, and he's just here, and he's there, and I'm going to go over and start a universalist church now. Call me Jude. Those of you who have seen The Truth Project, I'm making fun of some. But God, you can't put your arms around the fact that God is, because God's a spirit. We don't know what spirits are. And so, without God showing himself and revealing himself to us, Emmanuel, not God with us, but with us is God, we would never know. He did it. Wasn't part of the original plan, but it was part of the plan. See, the original plan was God was going to create man and he was going to fellowship with man. Right? That's what he wanted to do. What happened? Sin entered the world. And God wasn't caught off guard. In his complete foreknowledge of everything that is, because he's omniscient, in his complete foreknowledge, he knew what was going to happen, and he prepared for it long before it ever happened. In fact, some of the verses we're going to look at in just a minute, because we're going to look at how important this name is. This name, we're getting back to how important this name Emmanuel is to God. You're going to see that this is the second time that we'll see God talk about himself doing something as his son, God the Son. Now see, even when you start talking about it, you got God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit, and it's just, how do we get three in one? How does one become three and they're not different or separate? All those things begin to start clouding the mind, and God doesn't argue the point in the Scriptures. He says it is. In the beginning, God, Elohim, it's a uniplural noun. In the beginning, God, uniplural, created the heavens and the earth. Well, we know who created it, and we're going to see that in Scripture. The Christ, who is the image of God, who is the firstborn of all creation, say that was the firstborn of all creation, is being born again as a man. Gotta scratch my head on that one. I don't have fleas. I'm just trying to figure that out. How difficult is that? It's so hard to get your arms around. Look at some of these things that are important to God. You know, Jacob had this problem. Go over to Genesis chapter 32. I want to look at some. I want to look at several passages that talk about how important my name is. God says, Jacob, you know, was getting ready to come back from working with his uncle Laban, and he was coming home, and Esau was there. And Esau wasn't happy because you know what Jacob had done, the usurper. And in chapter 32, Jacob is like us because you got to remember, all we know is that Isaac said, God's given us some promises. Well, how do you know that? Well, Isaac told everybody, God's given us some promises because that's what my dad Abraham said. Oh, okay. Granddad Abraham said, God's given us some promises. Okay. Who is this God? People wanted to know. That's in the heart of man. God put that in the heart of man. Jacob wanted to know. Who did he wrestle with that night when he was left alone? Verse 24. Jacob was left alone. I'm in Genesis 32:24. Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the break of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I'll not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, what is thy name? That's Jacob. What is thy name? He wants to know who it is I'm wrestling with. And he said, Jacob. Oh, I'm sorry, I got that backwards. Jacob, the man wrestling with Jacob, said, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince thou hast power with God and with men and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? That's in the heart of men. I was listening to D. James Kennedy. And he was talking to a fellow. And he's testing him out a little bit and asking him, do you know, there's a God? And he goes, oh, yeah. He goes, well, you know who Jesus is? And he goes, yeah, he's the Son of God. So Kennedy, in his recounting of this story, said, I wanted to kind of just see if that was a cliche. You know, you can get that sometimes. Oh, yeah, he's the Son of God. Did he really know he's the Son of God? And all that that means. And so he asked him, he said, do you really think he was God? The man said, I don't know. And Kennedy said, well, let me tell you, and let me tell you what I know and what the Bible tells me and what God has to say, that he is the eternal, invisible creator of heaven and earth, the Almighty God. That's who Jesus is. And he says that that man immediately had tears in his eyes. And he said, you know, I've always known that. I've always known that Jesus was the Son of God and God Himself. But I've never heard it like that. Do you ever wonder? Do you ever know anybody that's set in church? I've got a guy that comes to my Bible study on Thursday morning, and I knew him when he was younger. He's a couple of years older than I am, but and his brother and I were friends. But he'd tell you to this day that he sat there in church for I don't know how many years, never knowing that Jesus is God and that Jesus was born in the flesh to die for his sins. We had a guy in CBMC, Paul Johnson, was a deacon in his church for, I don't know, 15 years. And then he received Christ one time at a CBMC dinner or a CBMC breakfast or one of the Christian businessmen's meeting. It happens all the time in churches. Now, I don't think it's the church fault. I mean, you know, there's a lot in church that that is not said, but surely, surely, Jesus is presented as Christ, is presented as the Savior, is presented as God. And it just, maybe sometimes it just flies right on by. You know, I don't know how many times I've taught something and somebody comes up and says it to me. He said, man, I just learned this. I'm going, you know, you've been coming to my Bible studies how long and you're saying you just learned this? And I know I've taught it. You're a teacher. You know what I'm talking about. The kids, all of a sudden the light dawns. I mean, it's happened to me. I understand that. I don't get bent out of shape. I don't act. I just go, that's great. That is so cool. And that's exactly what the scriptures say about it. But here's Jacob. Jacob, who are you? What is your name? Everybody wants to know what the name of God is. Go to Exodus chapter 3. Now we got to move. I start telling little sidetracks. We won't get through the lesson. Chapter 3 of Exodus. Sorry, verse 13. You know who Moses is. Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, he's there at the burning bush. He says, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers. Remember, that's Jacob, Isaac, Abraham, you know, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what's his name? What's his name? We want to know who he is. What shall I say unto them? Moses asked. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. This is my name forever. Go over to Exodus chapter 6, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spoke unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Let me just point something out to you real quick. Just remember in life, when you trust God, when you walk with God, you let God do what he wants to do in your life. The children of Israel, even though when they got out in the desert, they longed to be back in Egypt, they really didn't want to be in Egypt. And there's no way that they could have gotten out of Egypt. Whenever you find yourself, and they were there for 400 years, you ever find yourself in a funk? Can I use that word? Do y'all know what that means? Okay. And see, that's some kind of depression or some kind of disaster or some kind of bad situation. Whenever you find yourself there, trust God. He will drive you out if you will trust Him. Now, that can't be a cliche either. Oh, I'm just trusting in God. God's serious about that. When He says, trust in me, He's very serious about trusting in Him. Okay, now just a sideline. Verse 3. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, but my name Jehovah. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. That's that covenant relationship. That's where Moses was taking him. He was taking him to Mount Sinai, and there was going to be this covenant relationship by Jehovah. Now we know, we see Jehovah in the Genesis, and we see Jehovah before, and they knew it as the Lord, but they never had that relationship with Him. It's like that being born again relationship. It's having that personal presence now. And He was with them personally. He was with them in His presence by day and by night. Go over to chapter 9. Exodus chapter 9. God says to Pharaoh, through Moses in verse 16, when He's going to bring the hail, and you remember when the hail came down, y'all remember the movie? And the hail turned to fire. Yeah, and even all the wizards around Pharaoh are going, man, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And the hail turns to fire. Okay, he says, in verse 16, in this very deed and for this very cause have I raised thee up, Pharaoh, to show in thee my power and that, what? My name may be declared throughout all the earth. God's name is important to him. He doesn't want to be called the man upstairs. He doesn't want to be called the force. His name is important to him. It's so important to him, he goes on in this book to say, thou shalt not take my name in vain. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. Emmanuel, God with us. You ever wonder, why don't we call Jesus Emmanuel? I mean, God called him Emmanuel. Here in Isaiah in chapter 7, he called him Emmanuel. There was that prophecy that was given. In fact, hold your hand there, and let's go over and look at it real quick. Hold your hand there in Isaiah 42 and go back to Isaiah chapter 7 and show you where this is. Chapter 7, verse 14. It's an interesting situation. King Ahaz is being attacked by these two kings. King Ahaz is the king of Judah, and he's being attacked by the king of Syria and the king of Israel. And he's really worried. And Isaiah comes to Ahaz, and he says, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be all right. These two guys aren't going to bother you. And he asked Ahaz to ask for a sign. Ahaz said, I'm not going to test the Lord. So he doesn't ask for a sign. Isaiah says, therefore, in verse 14, the Lord should give you. If you're not going to ask for one, he's going to give you one anyway. The Lord shall give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. You know, that's a characterization more than it is a name. It's like, think of all the names in the Old and the New Testament that you find for Jesus. I mean, just, and we don't have time to go look at all of them, but I mean, you know, some of them are true and faithful. The I Am, the Day Spring. Remember when Zacharias was approached by the angel and he said, the Day Spring on high has come to visit us. The Just One, the Holy One. There's all these names that have been given to him. All these names. But they're not really names that we call him. You know, the Prince of Peace, Wonderful, Counselor, the Almighty God. We don't call Jesus that. We call him Jesus. Just like Emmanuel. It's a characterization. It's who he is. It is God with us, or with us is God. Emmanuel. Okay, come back to 42. In verse 8. Talking about Jesus. I mean, verse 1, my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, whom my soul delighteth, I put my spirit upon him, he shall bring forth justice to all the nations. Verse 8, he says, I am the Lord, that is what? What? My name. That is my name. And my glory will I not give to another. See how important it is? See what it's wrapped up in? Neither my praise to carved images. So many things are involved in this. His name to him is important. Go over to Malachi chapter 1, last book in the Old Testament. God brings his complaint against Israel, and he says in verse 6, a son honors his father, a servant his master. If then I be a father, where's my honor? And if I be a master, where's my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, you old priest that despise what? My name. And you say, in what way have we despised thy name? You've offered polluted bread upon my altar, and you say, in what way have we polluted thee? And it goes on and it goes on and on. But in verse 11 he says, From the rising of the sun even unto the going down of the same, my name shall be great among the nations. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name. And a pure offering for my name shall be great among the nations, saith the Lord of hosts. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 5. Whosoever shall receive one of these little children in my name receiveth me. Verse 20. And where two or three are gathered together, what? In my name. In my name, there am I in the midst of them. You kind of get the idea that his name is important to him. In Romans chapter 10, verse 13, whosoever shall call upon, say it, my name, shall what? Be saved. And what does Paul write in Colossians? Whatever you do, and in all that you do, do in my name. Do in my name. Do it all in my name. So his name's important to him. His name is incredibly important to him. Come on back to Matthew in our reading. Emmanuel, God with us. Or is it with us is God? You, how many times do you just fly by that and you just, okay, God's here in the flesh. Big deal. It's such an important thing. And it's so hard for us to understand. And God doesn't spend a lot of time explaining it. We've got a good lesson. Champ put this lesson out on the website that Pastor Mac did so many years ago, Seed of the Woman. What an amazing story that is, the Seed of the Woman. Well, who is that? So there's another name, Seed of the Woman, born of a virgin. Paul writes over here, he says, to Timothy, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So he's not just God, he's man too. How do we understand that? How do we understand God with us? Well, let's look at a couple of verses that go with that. John chapter 1 talks about his preexistence. John 1:1. We're going to look at four passages now as we wrap this up. Wait, usually you wrap it up with just one passage. No, we're going to wrap it up with four. Four passages, wrap this up. We're going to look at the preexistent one, the fact that he is God. Look in John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This is the Word that in verse 14, if you look at verse 14, said, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Who is that? Well, we know who that is. It's Jesus. In the beginning was the Word. That's him. He's God. He was pre-existent. We find this pre-existent theme going on over in Galatians chapter 4. It's another passage that speaks about the Christmas time. Or the time, I shouldn't say the Christmas time, I should say the time of his birth. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. Christmas. But when I think of Christmas, I'm sure most people do. You think of Santa Claus, and you think of elves, and you think of the North Pole, and you think of presents, and you think of holiday and festivities and things like that. Do you really just go around all the time thinking Christmas, and you're thinking of Christ and what God did? No, all of this just inundates. It permeates every... We see it all the time on TV. We see it, we hear it on the radio. Most sales after Christmas, but Clark's is just before. Yeah, okay, you see what I'm talking about? Okay. Just want to see if you're still with me here. Galatians chapter 4, when the fullness of time was come, it was not something that God was caught by surprise. It was totally in His purpose and His plan. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. It's not just the Word was in the beginning now, or in the beginning was the Word. It's His Son. So now we have a Son was sent forth, made of a woman, made under the law. I love that. Made of a woman, not man. Not man, because sin entered the world by one man. This was a man who knew no sin. This was a man who had no sin in him. This was a man who was going to die for your sins and my sins. And he had to be perfect and spotless and blameless and without a blemish. He was born of a woman. And he was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He was the only begotten Son of God, but we are the adopted children of God. He's so important. He's so important. In Philippians, we have another picture of what happened and how it came about. In Philippians chapter 2, it says, "Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus." And then here it begins. Here it begins in Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God. He even told the Pharisees, and they picked up stones. He said, "I and the Father are one." They knew what he was talking about. See, he doesn't leave anything open. And you know, that option of being able to say, "Well, he was just a good man," isn't viable. It's not presentable. People can't say that and get away with it. Don't let him get away with it, because he wasn't just a good man. Because if he was just a good man and not God, he's a liar, because "I and the Father are one," he said. He said, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." He said, "I'm the only way." If he's a liar. He can't be a good man and be a liar. That rich young ruler came to him and he said, "Good master." And he says, hold it. Don't say another word. Let me ask you a question. Now, I guess he didn't ask him a question. He just made a statement. There's none good, not one. There's none good but God. So if you're going to call me good, are you sure you're ready to step out on this ground? Are you ready to have that kind of faith? Here in Philippians, he says he thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That's God. And Colossians. Go on over to Colossians chapter 1. We see this in verse 15, speaking of Jesus. He says, Who is the image of the invisible God? He is the exact replica, the stamp. You know, it's the idea of taking a mold and then you press the mold to make whatever you want to make. If you want to make widgets, widget, mold, you know, the same mold makes it up. He is the exact image of that. He is God. But it's this idea, the next phrase, the firstborn of all creation, prototokos. We looked at this before. He wasn't, it's not like being born. It's preeminence. He's the first that was there for creation, because he was the creator. He goes on to say and explain that, "For by him were all things created, there in heaven and earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers." All things. Actually, it's the all things. The definite article is there. The all things. Just the good things, not the bad things, not the evil things. He says, "The all things were created by him," because they were created what? For him. "And he is before the all things, and by him the all things consist. He's the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, should all the fullness dwell." Wow. I guess what the angel said to Joseph's kind of taken on a little more meaning now, you know? Has a little more substance to it. It begins to stretch the faculties of our mental understanding. It's just so hard to embrace it. Come back to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 23. It says, "Behold." See? "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is with us, is God." And we call him Jesus because, and he tells us that's why he was born. He was born to die. He was born to give his life for us. And those that have received that life, those that have believed and received, that has so much meaning and so much importance to us. His name means so much to us. Jehoshua. the salvation of God. God didn't just die for our weirdness, you know, our character faults, our character flaws. It's not that at all. I mean, we all got those. But that's not what condemns us. I mean, we're all just a little bit weird. We do things a little differently. You know, that's your shtick and that's my shtick, and we all have a little shtick. Yeah, if you know what that means. I don't know, you don't. But it's a contrived, sometimes professional way of getting your point across or getting something done. It's just who you are. Everybody's got a different way. You ladies know what I'm talking about. You got a cake, and you bake it this way, and someone else says, well, I add a little more cinnamon, or I do a pinch of this. And yeah, it's just different. It's just every... He didn't die for our psycho babbling problems. He died for our sins. He died for our sins. That's why it's called Jesus. Salvation is from the Lord. Salvation is from the Lord. He's called Jesus, it says in verse 21. He shall save his people from their sins. And it just seems like we try to sugarcoat it. We try to make it... You know, today the philosophy is the Burger King philosophy. You know? Have it your way. You got it. Have it your way. So, and everything we do and everything we look at and all of our desires and all of our comforts and in all of our beliefs, it's just going to be the way we want it. That's the way it's going to be. And all roads lead to Jesus. Whether it's a Buddhist or Muhammad or Moses or any of those. It's Confucius, Lao Tzu. All of them, will, if you just have enough faith, they all lead the same place. And that couldn't be any more wrong. That couldn't be any more wrong. I quoted this earlier. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In Acts, Paul says that there's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. If there's any other way, then Jesus died. If there's any other way, then Jesus died in vain and his death is of no matter. And people may say that you're just a bigot. They may say you're arrogant. They may say you're just ignorant because you state exactly what God has said and what the Bible has said. But if you know Him, it's not being bigoted, it's not being arrogant, it's not being ignorant. It's telling the truth. If there's anything that we need any more or more than anything else today, is we need bold men and women who for the love of God and for the joy of their Savior will tell other people the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time of season where it's kind of funny that all over the world people are celebrating. People are being joyful and reminded of Emmanuel. There's Christmas cards going into Iran. There's Christmas carols being sung in Iraq. And it goes all the way to China and all the way back around to the West Coast and across America to Europe and back around the world again and again. It's amazing. It's amazing how You've done that. But Lord, we praise You. We want our thoughts this season to be upon You. And we pray, Lord, that those times when we stub our toe and we kind of get our mind off the real reason for the season, we thank You for being there to lift us up out of that miry clay and put us back up on our feet and say, come on, walk with me, abide with me. Oh, what great comfort, what great joy comes to the soul and the heart. All our needs can be met. We need to just be faithful to what the Word says and what You've given us to do. And this we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus, my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.